Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Welcome to Signs of Life Medium Insights Hour, where we, as always, get to explore the mindsets of the many accomplished spiritual mediums that we have in topics related to spirituality and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, the world's most okayest guitarist, and it's my pleasure to welcome Siri Bernstein back to the show today. She's a wonderful person. She's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, and she's been blessed with the gift of mediumship for her whole life. She's recognized, you know, since she was a small child, she's recognized as clairvoyance, empathy, and vivid dreams, and she became able to embrace her unique abilities and use her gift to heal and comfort those who've lost loved ones through the power of mediumship and support with bereavement. Her extensive study of mediumship, consciousness, and meditation includes among the few, the well-renowned Arthur Findlay College in the United Kingdom, as well as the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, and the Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health. Siri is also a certified grief recovery specialist. She has a website. It's www.spiritoflight.com. All compressed, all one word, spiritoflight.com. So our show is commercial free as always, no interruptions. So sit back, curl up with a pet or a loved one, and have a drink with us. And, you know, while we do our best to stimulate your intellect imaginations for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Siri, I just wanted to also remind that today's show, it's for research purposes only and informational purposes. So Siri's not going to be conducting any mediumship readings. But if you do have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. All right. So with all that said, Siri, welcome to the show.
Hey, Roman. And hey, everyone that is out there in the universe. People, spirits, and aliens.
There you go. How you doing?
I am good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You know, it's been exactly a year since you've been on the show. The last time that you were here was May 9th, 2024. And I remember that because it's my wedding anniversary. So
that oh, my goodness. Hey, happy you. And your wifey.
27 years tomorrow, I guess.
And you're still together.
Surprisingly, you know, I mean, having this many guitars and a wife that understands that, I mean, I'm blessed, so...
Did you just hint to me that you love your guitars maybe a little bit more than your wife sometimes?
No.
Don't respond. Don't respond.
Oh, so nice to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Good to be back on the show.
I'm sorry?
It is good to be back on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's always something new to learn. And let's see, what can I say about what's happened in the last year? There's a lot that happened over here. Where do you call home? Are you still like in Boston?
So yes, so I mean I have two homes because I just came back about what day is it today? Oh, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. It's almost Friday. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back 5 days ago, I think it was. So I was back home in Iceland because so this has been a really busy, I would say this year of 2025 has been really, really busy. and I like it this way. There's been a lot of sort of like traveling, so that is one thing that I used to travel. I used to be a flight attendant, so I'm one of these people. I know how to travel really lightly, and I know how to run through the airport really quickly, and
Yeah.
I know how to get through the lines really quickly. I'm one of those travelers. And so, for instance, when I travel for like 2 weeks, I'll just take like a backpack with me. I'm really like really low key.
Wow.
And yeah, anyway, yeah, I don't know why. I don't like to carry stuff with me, and I think life is such that we shouldn't be carrying too much stuff with us. And it is interesting to me. I remember like when I went to Arthur Finley College, there was a lot of Americans. Some of them had two suitcases. Like, I just don't get it. Like, why carry so much stuff with you? Anyway. So I'm not saying that's bad, but my mind does not comprehend this. But anyway, then I did a grief retreat for the Forever Family Foundation, and I did two of them. And I have to tell you, that is probably one of the favorite things that I do.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons is, I think with the work that we do as mediums, there's different directions that we can take it. And one direction would be to go more into the psychic and sort of doing all of these, like for instance, tarot stuff and all of that stuff. And I mean, I did that for a little while. I did try to understand astrology. I know that Joe Perretta, he does astrology regularly, and I go on his Instagram and I have fun with it because he's such a New Yorker. Anyway, and I know the thing is because we all get along really well, so I know that he doesn't mind it. Is that listening to him, the New Yorker, I love it. But in my case, a few years ago, I started going more towards the in alignment with teaching mediumship, like doing the readings and then teaching mediumship quite a bit. I went really down the road of understanding grief more, like understanding how to help people with grief and how to hold space with it. And I kind of knew at the time that I started doing this that it would probably make my readings a little bit better. And I think it did. Because years ago, probably like 20 plus years ago, somebody said to me, "Oh, if you study Reiki, you're going to be a much better medium." And I thought to myself, like, "Oh, let's study Reiki." There was no difference. Not for me.
Okay. Well, very interesting.
Yeah, like the Reiki, like it was just like, okay, the Reiki is there, healing is there. But you see, I think that healing is in prayer, healing is all around us. And I know some incredible healers. But then I sort of started going down this road in 2018. I did the grief recovery methods specialist. I did that one. And then I did the grief educator under David Kessler. And I really loved that one. It's a little bit of a different dynamic.
Yeah.
And I have definitely been able to bring a deeper, more compassionate presence, I think, into my sessions. That's
Cool.
just what I think, yeah.
And it's kind of funny that you were mentioning of the grief retreats and all of that, because one of our listeners sent in a email this week, somebody by the name of Carly Stipe. She put her name in the email, so I guess I can mention it, right? Anyways, it goes like this. Hello, Signs of Life hosts. I got a message from a loved one during Transforming Grief Retreat earlier this year. They came through gentle or new they came through gentle or neutral, a different way than I had experienced them when they were alive. My grandfather was perpetually grumpy, a yeller, a prickly kind of guy. I am just the opposite. Over the years, I would get a few smiles and hugs out of him when he knew he was going to pass on. I was lucky enough to see him a week before, so he told me he loved me for the first time. And always loved hearing about what I was doing, even if he didn't show it. It was totally 180 degrees from my experiences with him. Could you talk a bit about how there would be that change in attitude near the passing and on the other side? Thank you for the conversation. Forever grateful, Carly Stipe.
So I think this is interesting because I think we as mediums, when we bring the spirits through, we have to be as authentic as we can to how we remember the spirits, how we remember the people by. I do think that there was Christopher Kerr, Dr. Christopher Kerr, he wrote the book, I think it was Deathbed Visions, I think it was. I think that's the one that he wrote. I can't remember exactly, but I mean, he talks about like how people have these visions before they die and all that. And I do think that when people know that they are about to sort of enter the afterlife, I do think that they have sort of these possibly enlightenments, these moments of epiphany that love is kind and love should be expressed. I don't know, but then again, like everyone is different. But I mean, there's only love on the other side. And so it's also probably like what may have taken place is that the grief retreat is that the meeting that was bringing through how he was at the tail end. I was also able to capture the love that he wanted to express from the other side. That's my guess. No, that is my guess. But then I don't know like who the medium was. I can't really speak for others because you see the thing is also like every medium is different. Every medium is
Oh,
unique.
yeah. Yep. Everyone's unique in their powers. I mean, there are certain commonalities where you could say somebody's clairvoyant, clairaudient, or, one of the other clairs, But, that's about it for me. I think. Other than the form of mediumship being mental or physical or whatever, I mean, there's not much, many more categories you can split it into. You know what I mean? And I think everyone's
Well,
different in their own respect.
oh,
Even,
for sure. But I
yeah.
think that, oh, for sure. But I think also, like, this is something that I do think about quite a bit. And that is when we talk about, like, one thing is to do mental, like, I'm only talking about the mental mediumship, the sort of the evidential mediumship, not transmediumship or any of that stuff. But for instance, because I'm in a few groups on Facebook, and when we do the mental mediumship, that is one form. But then when we get to the point of, because this really has to do with the brain waves, when we get to the point of having more presence with the spirit in our sessions, in the private sessions, then we can really capture more of a blending. And there is a way to capture blending in such a way that in a private session, that the energy within the session can become really, really, really powerful. So what I'm saying by that is that one thing is to narrate who is coming through and how old they were and how they died and all of these things, what they did for work and all of that stuff. And I'm gonna tell you this, like when you've been doing this for like over 20 years, you get a little bit tired of the same, like, oh, he was this old and he died this way, and da, 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 like for instance, like he was 75 years old and he had a heart attack, and da, da. And I'm not saying like obviously not everyone passes the same way. But when we look at the lifetime, that I mean, that is evidence, and I think the mediums that want to be tested for the Forever Family, they should really keep that in mind. What is evidence? But I think that once you've been doing this for quite a while, you give yourself a little bit of a liberty to be a little bit more creative. Like, what is evidence? Like, for instance, what was the favorite thing to do in life? What was their favorite book? What was their favorite movie? Like, for instance, I did a reading this week for a small group, and the guy in the spirit world, he was a young one. He was a young adult. He was like 27 or 8, 9 years old, something like this. I'm shy of 30 years old. And he was talking about his father, who was still living, who loved to watch My Cousin Vinny. And so it's like, so what is interesting is also like with his work is that, like they can bring up evidence that could be something like this. And then they start, imitating, like, I don't really watch TV that much, but I've watched the movie, My Cousin Vinny, like one time. I really should watch it again. But it's like, it's little things like this. What becomes the evidence? Do you know what I'm saying? So it's, there's so much to a person's life. If a person has lived 10 years, you have already by that time accumulated 10 years of stories, of evidence, and all of these things. So I think that with really experienced mediums, when they go from the mental mediumship, purely mental mediumship with evidence, 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 like boom, 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 then allowing oneself to have the ability to go into the blending and then bring forth healing, but then also bring forth like these incredible memories. Like when, for instance, if a daughter was able to dance the last dance with her father, what was the music in the background? Who was there? Do you see what I'm saying? So there's almost more to life than just sort of these statistics. What is this person's date of birth or,
Wow. So when you do group re like you do group readings, what's the size for your group readings? Does it vary from large, like auditoriums? Like some people.
Because I don't like marketing. Like it's just a thing. Like I have to force myself. Like I just put like a few short clips on Instagram, and I had to really force myself to do it. My friend was there, so she helped me out with it. It's interesting because I studied media. I wanted to be a journalist. Anyway, so that's a new thing for me. I'm gonna try and force myself to put more things on social media, and I want to do educational things. But so the largest group that I did was in Iceland. It was 600 people. It was a really old church. It was downtown, and it was full. It was completely full to a point. It was a standing seat only, and people had to be turned away. And we're talking about a nation of like 350,000 people. So 600 people in one, and we're talking about downtown where there's like no parking. So that was probably the biggest one that I've done. But otherwise, like the when I do the private groups, those could be, I would say, 10, 15 people. You know, those can be quite intense. So
Now,
I mean, it could be any range, 100 people.
it must be. Do you find it more challenging to do a group reading than it is a individual one-on-one reading? Because, like you said, in a group reading, there's probably not as much blending going on because you can't.
Right. So I think you see, I think that it just sort of depends on the day. Like, there are some groups that, like, I did a group, probably it was, I think it was about 70 people. This was up north in Iceland. It was around Christmas time. And it was kind of funny because there were people up north in Iceland. They were planning, like, the Christmas event. And they were, like, talking about, like, who should we invite? And then they're scrolling through Facebook and they see my name. It's like, hey, let's just invite her. It was kind of funny. They had no idea who I was because the 600 people that I did in Iceland, it was in the city center. And so then I said, sure. And I drove all the way up north. It was in the middle of the winter. And I actually had a couple of friends come with me because I was a little bit nervous about driving in the midst of darkness and winter and slippery roads.
See the northern lights? That must have been
Oh
something.
yeah, oh my God, that trip. Oh my God, you have no idea. So anyway, so I did the group and it was like 70 people, something like this. And for instance, that group, it was so much fun because it was so much laughter because I don't know what made it so, it was not like it was funny the whole entire thing, but I was able to really ride on the emotions of laughter and tears and like, it was just really emotional. But then after the event, because we had a little cottage that we were able to borrow. We were there for like a couple of nights. And then after the event, we were able to go into the hot tub. Like every good cottage in Iceland has a hot tub.
Sure.
You know, because we have hot springs, right? So you just dig into the ground and then you have the geysers. No, not quite, but
What?
not quite. It's like digging for oil, I wish. But
Yeah.
anyway, so that night we were in the hot tub and we just saw this incredible, magnificent aurora over us. I mean, it was just, you know, it's like the skies, it just come alive.
It's crazy. I mean, I've only seen it in I think I was a kid. I was in northern Canada where I saw it pretty well, like near Edmonton kind of thing. But
Yep.
I don't like, I can't imagine being even that far north, what it must be
And
like.
then yeah, and then so for us, I mean, it just becomes the norm. And I remember like when I was a kid, I would be making angels in the snow. And I'm like 6 or 7 years old or something, and then I would be in the snow and just making snow angels, and I'd be watching this sky. It was like magic watching. It was like ballet across. I mean, it was really pure God's creation. It was magnificent because there's like no shape is the same, and then it just moves around. It's like in and I'm gonna tell you this: if people are gonna be traveling, because I know people are listening to this show, hopefully from all across the world, but who knows? But please, I'm going to be ask people one thing. If you do travel to Iceland and you see the aurora, stop talking. Like it should be a magical moment. But these tourists, they're just yap, 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 yap. It's like, you know, and
Picture, picture, picture.
it's like, well, I can understand if people go like, oh wow, look at that. I can understand that. But if they're talking about apertures and like shutter speed and like tripods, go somewhere else. Like,
I
do you
hear
know?
you.
Because also, like, there's one place close to where I live. It's called Grotta. And as a kid, I would go there. But now there's so many tourists. And so now I go there. It's like they can't stop talking. It's like verbal diarrhea. And they're watching this incredible magic happen in the sky. They just, and I'm talking about like these are Germans and British and Spanish and like you name it, Americans, like you name it.
Okay.
All of them.
But apart from the tourists being there, like and witnessing such beauty, does that like awaken a deeper sense of spirituality in
Oh, for
you?
sure.
Like you,
Absolutely. So that's like what I'm trying to say is like there's this, it sort of awakens this thing within your soul, and you want to touch the sky. You just want to touch the green aurora lights moving so gently across the sky. And then in the background, you have like, blah, blah, blah. So this is what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like if you were to go to a church and everyone is sitting in prayer and everyone is sitting in this very powerful moment. And then you have these tourists walking in off the street. Blah, 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 blah. So it's like, that's kind of like what it is. So it is truly a spiritual, it's a spiritual experience.
What is the predominant religion in Iceland? Is it more Catholic, more Protestant, more
So it was, I don't think a lot of people go to church anymore. I mean, it used to be the old pagans, and the pagans today, they've actually built a temple in Iceland, which is fantastic. I would say it predominantly it is Lutheran, but it's not the like it's Lutheran Protestant, but it's not the same type of Lutheran Protestant as it is in America, because I would say the Lutheran in Iceland is more like the Unitarians over here. It's like really open-minded and very embracing of everyone, and just a very sort of free-flowing faith. That is the yeah. That's I would say that is majority of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I just, get a better
But we
picture.
still have a lot of values from the old pagans. We will celebrate certain feasts throughout the.
Christmas, December 25th was a pagan holiday way before Christ was born.
Well, actually, if you would like to know, they have not figured out that Jesus Christ was born on June 17th.
Well,
Please, I'll dig into the science of it.
No,
Star Bethlehem.
absolutely. I know it's not December 25th, but even though we celebrate it, and I mean, I figured they picked a date that would satisfy most people, and they were already celebrating on that date anyway. So there
Well,
you
they were celebrating on the 21st. And then they managed to tweak a little bit. So in Scandinavia and Europe, a lot of times they will celebrate on the eve of the 24th. I know that in France and Spain and Portugal, they celebrated on, I think in Italy, they begin the celebration of well, in Iceland we call it Yule. All over Scandinavia we call it Yule. And so we will begin the celebration on the evening of the 24th. In America, it's very different. Why that is, don't ask me.
Well,
But I'm not
being
Christian.
of Ukrainian descent, we used to celebrate by the old Gregorian calendar or the Julian calendar, whichever one. So Christmas used to be on like January 7th.
Right. Yes,
That
true.
kind of thing. So
Or maybe on the January 6th, because we call that the 13th day of Christmas back home, and then we have a second bonfire. In Iceland, we actually have a bonfire on this
yes.
8th of January, as we do on the New Year's Eve. So we're still quite we hold on to the old traditions, which is nice.
So I got some listener questions, other ones
Oh.
too. One of them is, I'm curious to know if you've encountered animals in your readings and who have chosen to remain with their parents, and if they have shared a previous life together as pet and parent, or even pet and parent and child. Like, is there any relation like that? What do you think?
So, yes. So, the biggest animal that I ever brought through was a gorilla. But I got the gender wrong because the gorilla had a big chest, and initially I like it's kind
Tell
of
us that hairy story.
huh?
I said, tell us about that hairy story.
Yes. So I was teaching a class, and then I had split everyone up into like groups of two, and then there was an odd number, so I had to work with one of the people, and I had them. It was an exercise in just holding on a piece of paper and connecting with a name without looking at the name. So one of the students had written down the name of a gorilla, and they were the one solo person, so I had to work with them. So I took the name in my hand and I started connecting with them. And then I started talking like, well, there's this, because I saw these big brown eyes and this wiry dark hair, and I could feel the hair, and then I could feel the big chest, and I was convinced that this was either, I'm sorry that I'm saying this, like a Greek woman or Italian lady or something. And I started to talk to her, like, oh wow, she like because of the eyes, you see, like it was these big brown eyes.
Big, big, yeah.
Big eyes. But then I got to the point where I started describing the arms, and that made no sense because those are really hairy, big, strong arms.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then the students, they corrected me and they said, well, it's actually, it's not a human, it's a gorilla. So it was a male gorilla. So
Wow.
they were a zookeeper at some point. But anyway, so that was the biggest animal. But this has been my experience. Animals, they can reincarnate fairly easily and they will come back into our lives fairly easily. In my case, this is just how I work as a medium. The afterlife is with us at all times. They're not going out there into this the clouds, and they're not going to be sitting on top of the clouds and like waving at us. That's silly to say that. Consciousness is always with us, and so I think that the movie The Others with Nicole Kidman was actually kind of interesting because it showed us how we could live parallel lives. And so with animals, I see animals, or at least our pets, as like our own family members. And just like our own family members, they can live with us, even though they have passed on the energy, they live with us for as long as we love them. It's the same. So in my experience, the same thing goes for the animals. And I'm tempted to say almost any animal, because who are we to judge whether the pet was a frog or a cat or a lizard or a spider? That would be kind of strange, though. But I brought through mini ponies, I brought through horses, I brought through cats and dogs. I've done a whole reading on a cat. So they're just like people in my mind.
Do they really have 9 lives?
The cats, oh, for sure. And I really hope for mosquitoes that they have many lives because I will kill them. Those are the only ones that I will kill, mosquitoes.
Oh, I hate mosquitoes.
I
So
think they're asking for it. It's like this is just, they're asking for it. So,
when you do your readings, how often, and does it drain you of energy that you can only do so many in a day kind of thing? How
yeah.
does it work with you?
But this is such a good question. When I was young, when I first started doing this, I was like in my 20s or something, and I could do like 10 readings a day with ease. It was like easy peasy. And then, as I've gotten older, I don't feel the same energy anymore. I'm fully aware of it. Because we're talking about like 20 plus years. So as I've gotten older, I don't feel the same energy. I also want to have more compassion in my reading. So I give it more time, I give it more energy. So it's sort of like I was able to kind of like sprint through them in the past, but now I go for a nice jog. And then I do like 2 readings a day, and I do a few readings per week. And I know my limits so that I'm not exhausted, because there was a time when I would push myself to exhaustion. But now I know like self-care is crucial, and my self-care is like summertime is hammock time. Like I'm done working at 3 p.m. and that's like hammock time. And I'm getting to be known for that medium in the hammock.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Here's another question.
Yeah.
According to the experiences of Forever Family Foundation's mediums, have any spirits come through that have passed away half a century or even a full century prior?
So this is where it comes to evidence. You see, okay, so there's no time in the spirit world. And there's only one time that I remember I did a reading for someone, and I had brought through a couple of people already, and I can't remember who those people were, but then I started bringing through this woman who was a painter, but she lived in Paris. And then like towards the end of her life, she kind of like turned blind, but she was a very well-known painter. And then at one point or another, like I started describing specific paintings that she had done. And I thought it was like, there's something about this woman that feels really familiar. And then only just to discover that this was Mary Cassatt. I think she had passed, I don't know, like if it was 60 or 80 years prior, do you know? And I think she was able to come through me because at the time, I was quite well sort of into the whole art scene, like, I could remember like the artists, and I could quote like different artists, painters, and stuff. So, but otherwise, like you really have to have the evidence. Why
And
would
not only that, but it probably, I would think that, well, if there's nobody here to want them to come through, because somebody that died 100 years ago, they're not going to have loved ones waiting for them to,
Right.
maybe not, but I
But
don't know.
you see, there's another aspect to this too, which is this, is that for instance, if there's no time in the spirit world, let's say we know how to do this work really well, and then let's say a medium then one day wants to connect with Nikola Tesla. Now the question is, was Nikola Tesla's incredible intelligence from the consciousness, or was it in his brain? I'm sorry, did it die with him when he died, or was it out there? Did he get it from somewhere, like Einstein? Did he get it from somewhere? And then, if that is the case, we as mediums, would we be able to connect either with Tesla or with Einstein or to that energy where they may have captured that information? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
I mean, that's what's his name? Edgar Cayce,
Yes,
and
Casey, yes. The
yeah,
state of yes.
totally talks about that with the ether.
Right.
Like everything that has ever happened, every beat of a mosquito, everything that is
Yeah.
recorded in the ether,
Yep.
everything.
Yes.
Just how do you, and that's where, Edgar Cayce said a lot of his well, that's where he derived, I think, all of his everything from there. And he says it's all about that, and it's being able to tap into that. That's what he called it,
Yeah.
We'll call it different stuff,
Yeah, we call it different stuff. And it's kind of interesting because also when medium talks about it, like how they work, it's interesting because for instance, Joe Scheel, he will talk about like walking into a room, like walking into a restaurant and everyone is talking at the same time, and then you have to like zoom in on one voice. That's not always easy. And I just figured this the other day that as a kid, I loved shortwave radio. I was obsessed with it because in Iceland we only had like one channel. And it was like for old people, do you know, like when
So it was
old.
interesting getting something different.
It's like listening to NPR for like the only station. Anyway, I shouldn't say that because I used to love NPR. Anyway, so then when I was, I don't know, probably like 12 years old, I got a little radio. It was actually my mom's radio, but I got to play with it. And then I started like tuning into the shortwave radio. So for me, this mediumship is it's sort of like an energetic thing. And for me, it's catching that frequency in the purest way that I possibly can to a point where there's no interruption. And so then the question is, can I bring this frequency out even further than just into the spirit world? And yes, I should be able to do that.
Very interesting. How do you prep for a reading?
I knew you were going to ask that. Do you know why?
How?
Because I listened to some of the radio shows they did with the other mediums.
Yes, it's one of
I
my
ask all the mediums this
classics.
question.
It's one of my classics, yes, for
Yes.
sure. Guilty as charged.
Yes. So you asked the same question. So years ago when I was first starting out, I would take about 20 minutes to half an hour to prepare. And I would actually sit in meditation and I would meditate and I was really, really serious about it. Then I got to a point where I was meditating way too much. To a point where I was so out there that when I started the reading, like nobody understood what I was talking about. Like I was talking about star beings or something. And so then I started realizing I had to sort of reel it back in. And so then I
Back.
started cutting down on the time. So I give myself 15 minutes.
Okay.
I go through phases. I will listen to some songs. And sometimes I will have a piece of paper in front of me and I will sort of begin the conversation and then we'll jot things down. Sometimes I will have no preparation. But right now I'm kind of bored with how I've been working lately. So I have to come up with something new. I get bored. So I have to come up with new ways of preparing, like listening to different songs, different type of meditation, something a little bit different.
And here's another classic question that I ask, and I do it for the sake of any new listeners that might have not tuned in previously. Do you have like if you have clients that are maybe fearful, like how do you put them at ease, or how do you like do you tell them to prepare in a certain type of way?
Yes, I give them a foot massage. No. No. So Well, it's kind of interesting because before I started doing this, I was an atheist. So it's kind of like how I look at it is this way. There's people that come to see me and they may be incredibly skeptical, borderline atheists, even people that have died that come through. And so for me, it's so easy to relate to the part of, like the skeptics. I can,
Right.
and then I tell them like, well, that's that I came from the world of, the cynical, the atheist, that, like, oh, this is all.
I came from that world, that mindset. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, but did you too, although, Roman, did you come from the?
Well, I grew up Catholic, so my whole family is excited that we got a new pope today, right? So
Yes, who is it?
it's an American pope. He's going to be going by Pope Leo XIV. He's the he was the Archbishop Cardinal somewhere in Chicago, but he doesn't speak English. He's Peruvian, but he's got the dual
In
citizenship.
what?
He's from Peru,
Oh, he's Peruvian.
but he's American also. So he's the first, I think he's got dual citizenship or something like that. So he's the first American
Yeah.
pope.
So he's like an immigrant in America. Well, he's America because
Yeah.
Peru is in America.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, there we go. Anyway.
So he's yeah, it's he's I forget, it was François something Prevost, Prevost. So it's a French sounding last name, Prevost. I'm actually originally from Canada, so I'm French. I speak French fluently.
Oh, tu parles français?
Absolument, je parle français. Ça
Comme
fait
les
longtemps que
Canadiens.
on peut nous conduire en français pour le restant du programme, mais ce serait pas très bon.
You realize that Canadian French is
Very different from European French, absolutely.
exactement.
It's
Exactly.
exact. It's
Wow, so you're Canadian.
Hmm?
Oh wow. That's like Lee. That's like Lee, the director. She's Canadian.
Really?
Yeah,
Really?
Lee Harris. Yeah, she's Canadian. They're such nice people. America's
Try
also.
to be till we get pissed off too much. There we do have limits, but
I haven't spotted that. But anyway,
you don't have to go far into look at the TV, look at some interviews with our leaders. You'll see some stuff. Anyhow, this is not a political
You see,
show.
I think leaders of these nations, they're all part of the same nonsense. I'm not
Yeah.
gonna say bad words. It's just, I say stop watching TV and trust your hearts. Listen
Yeah.
to your heart. Stop listening to them because nothing that they say is true. Listen to your hearts.
That's a you know what? That's probably the best advice you gave today, for
And
sure.
I think that, you know what? I think that everyone should have done this like 5 years ago. Just really listen to your heart. It will always tell you the truth.
Yeah, because we're somehow like, do you believe we're all somehow connected?
We're
This
all
thing?
connected.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I'm not getting into politics, but it saddens me though that I'm connected to some people that are on TV. I'm gonna leave it at that. It's just like
Right. No, it saddens me too, and probably the same people, but
right,
we're
but I think that, and then also we have to be kinder. Like we have to come together, and we have to be kinder. We have to be kinder to one another. And you know what? One of the things that I've learned in the last few years is that when people spew hate at you, you don't need to respond in the same. You don't really respond with hate. You can respond with kindness.
that would actually hurt them far worse than responding with hate, because they
Right.
expect that, and
Right.
it's out of character, and it shows you that they're coming up with that hate had
Yep.
no effect on you, so
Yes.
that will actually bother them more.
Yeah, just let it bounce off and just carry on with your life and be kind and be loving and and I think that if the more people are loving on this planet, it's going to be an easier planet. But congratulations to all the Catholics.
Yeah, I mean that was pretty quick. It's like what, second day of enclave, and it was the last vote today where the white smoke came out. So they do four votes a day, I think. So
You see,
pretty
I'm not
quick.
Christian. You see, I'm not Christian, and so there's.
Yeah.
It's like okay. There's even somebody wrote a review on social media about me that I did not have Jesus in my office. And they said, buyer beware, don't go to her. And I thought, oh. And
Oh
I
no.
responded in a very nice way. So if there's anyone listening and they like Google my name and they see these reviews and I responded in a very nice way, because we do have our constitution in America and we have rights.
And due process.
Yes,
Like,
we
due
have
freaking process. I
freedom
mean,
of religion. Freedom
come
of religion. So anyway.
Yeah. That room of where the conclave was held, the Sistine Chapel, I was in that room 2 years ago when I went to visit my daughter who was studying in Prato, Italy, for a semester. And we all went to visit her and took advantage, went to Rome and saw the Vatican and all that. And it was the Sistine Chapel was like, it's deceiving because like you think, that picture of God, the
Yeah,
two
yep,
fingers
yep.
there. That is such a tiny part of the whole ceiling. It's like it's right in the middle, yeah, but it's tiny. That's zoomed in when they have pictures. I mean, it takes up 1/50th of the whole ceiling, maybe,
You know what? Okay, can I tell you something? I'm not surprised because 20 some years ago, I went to see the pyramids. And through our childhood, I had learned like, oh, they were gigantic, and so I went there to see them, and I had this idea that they would be gigantic. And then, granted, I went in the middle of the summer. It was in July. It was really, really hot outside, and I'm a redhead, and I was miserable. I went with people that were non-English speakers, and so nobody was communicating with me, and I had no idea what was going on. And like in the middle of July, and we were like riding these horses around the pyramids, and I thought to myself like, they're tiny.
Really, huh?
Yeah, and I was
He came all the
so
way there to see these tiny little.
disappointed. No, I mean, I was a flight attendant, so this was like just it was just a layover because we were flying from Jeddah. We were flying from Jeddah into Cairo, so it was
Oh,
like it was a
okay.
part of the whole thing. Like it was not like I flew in there to see them.
Okay, this is like during your stewardess days.
Yes,
Yeah, okay.
yes,
I get
the
it.
airline please. So it's just a part of the thing. I mean, I was more impressed when we flew into Malaysia and I got to see there's a place in Kuala Lumpur, close by Kuala Lumpur, called Batu Cave, and these are caves inside of a mountain and filled with all these shrines. I mean, that had more impact on me, because it was I don't know what it was. And now
Yeah,
I
fair
discovered
enough.
some new things about the pyramids. There's this whole structure underneath it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's all about,
The discoveries of this
yeah.
planet are quite fascinating.
Yeah, I've yet to just go into the South American region or anywhere in Africa. I mean, actually, I've only been to America and the Caribbean and
Canada.
Europe. I've been to Europe a couple of times, many times. I love Europe.
So if your daughter is still in Italy, I hope she
No,
sticks
she's back.
out.
She's at University of New Haven. They just go for one semester.
Oh, okay.
Exchange program kind of thing, so but she wants to go back, and
She
I've been
should.
there four or five times. I mean, I love it. It's great, great country.
You see, this is why I go back home.
Absolutely,
And
absolutely.
even this time around, like I was there for like 2 weeks or something, and my friends and I were like driving around the country because I said we need to do a day trip because we love our day trips, and so these are usually spiritual friends, and then we laugh a lot when we do these day trips, and we were looking for water, and I didn't really realize why we were looking for water. There's tons of water in Iceland, but then we found these waterfalls that were just really beautiful, and then we were like drinking fresh water from the waterfalls.
Wow.
It was divine, yeah. Just like, like you just put your hands underneath it and you just drink it. It's absolutely divine.
So let's see if we have other questions that in okay, so when you do group readings, this is a group reading question. In larger group readings, how do you identify who in the audience you are receiving the message is for? How does the person who's passed help clarify which
Okay.
person you are sharing with? Do you do
Fantastic question. This is a fantastic question. There's different ways of
from That's
working.
from Mary.
Okay, so I'm sorry that I interrupted, but there's different ways of working, and we can I like to call it sort of the British way and the American way. And the British way, they had this way of usually not all mediums, but most of the time they will have this way of like going all the way into the back of the room, and they will bring through a spirit to somebody that sits in the back so that they capture all the audience and they can zoom in on who it goes to. So that is what would be called a direct method. So that's usually how they start their shows, is like they will go somewhere in the room. So there's one way is that you find the recipient, you bring through a spirit that belongs to that recipient. It could be a room of 1,000 people.
Yep.
There's another way of working, and I've done both methods. I do prefer the one that I'm about to tell you about now. The
Okay.
other method is that you bring the spirit in and you begin the communication with them and you get the details from them. And then you feel your way into the room, sort of into the area, to the point where you're like within the sort of maybe 4 or 5 people. And then there has to be somebody within that region that understands like 90% of what the medium says. I like to work that way because that puts more pressure on me to, because then I'm like, there's no way that I can do a psychic link with that one. And then it really purely is about the spirit that is coming through. So this, like, these are two different ways of working, going straight to the person and then asking the spirit to come through for that person. The other way is to bring the spirit through, and then get tremendous amount of detail and then go into the auditorium and find the recipient. So these are two different ways. It's just techniques.
And to point you into the right direction, the spirit, what is whispering in your ear that, like some of the messages that you're going to be then conveying
Okay.
to
Yeah,
the.
so this is another great question because this also goes into like I love teaching and my plan is to put more things on social media that has to do with techniques and teaching. So people that really clear our audience, they will hear them talk. What I find kind of interesting is that because I'm really clear visual and I feel everything, or those used to be my biggest senses, and but then I've developed a clear audience quite well, and then like the knowing, and my knowing is through my heart. And so, for instance, when I work, it's not a whisper. I will see through their eyes because I will bring them. Like I don't like them to be to my side. I like to see through their eyeballs. That's just how I work. I like to see through the eyeballs. I want to feel the energy. And so that I can really narrate who they were, what they were about, all of those things. So it's not like there are some mediums that talk about having a screen in their head. I don't really do that. I mean, I map things out, but I see through the spirit's eye. So that is my technique. And then when it comes to hearing things, because the clear audience, I'm not as strong in that as maybe some of the mediums. Because just when it comes to names, I make it like for the first three, like the first two letters, the first three letters of a name. On occasion, I'll get the whole name, like for instance, Barbara,
I
there's no
understand.
question about Barbara. But if it's like for instance, if it's for instance, the name Sean or John, like sometimes it will feel, and then I have to really feel into like to be specific, I would say that these are technical things. Like every medium is different. Every medium is unique. And I'm sure that if you were to talk to Laura Lynn or Laura Wooster or Laura Sheridan or like all these Lauras, it just dawned on me. Anyway, any of the other mediums or even oh God, no, I can't, Gina or Kim, like we would all tell you, or even Rebecca, we would all tell you different things, how we all work and how we hear, how we experience, how we see. So it's very unique to each and every.
And oh, to each their own, like you said,
Yeah.
a slightly different technique. You
Do
can't.
you see what I'm thinking? It probably is like your guitars. Each and every guitar that you own has a different sound
Yes, exactly.
and a different feel.
Tell my wife that.
And a different feel. Even
Different
holding it
feel.
has a
It
different feel.
inspires you to play differently. Absolutely. If I pick up like my Les Paul, I'm going to want to rock it out. If I pick up a jazz box, I want to play, jazz guitar or
There you
classic,
go.
whatever. Yeah,
You know,
absolutely.
and you know what is so interesting? Like when it comes to musical instruments, the one instrument that I have a really hard time with is electrical guitars. I don't know what it is. There's something about, yeah, and I don't know if it's that I hear the electricity or what it is. If it's classical guitars, love it. Acoustic guitars, love it. But there's something about the
Are you
string.
talking about the overdrive is overdriven or
I
the
don't
string
know. Is this
type?
like there's something that my brain just goes into this cringe, like just turn it down,
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. But I love classical guitars. I love acoustic guitars. I love them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a guitar to please everybody, I'm sure. My favorite is the electric guitar.
Yeah, whereas my ears, I
Yeah.
don't know what it is. It's like some people, they bite into aluminum foil and there's this.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't.
See? That to me is electrical guitar.
That is crazy, crazy. So, Siri, tell the audience like how far are you booked out if they want to make appointments. Let's do some plugs for you.
So I'm booked about, like, I would say about 3 weeks out, because I
Okay.
don't market. I used, before COVID, I was booked out like 3 months solid, and like I shut off my calendar. Like, you could only book 3 months. I used to have 500 people on waiting list. I didn't like it.
Right.
Now that I travel quite a bit, if I'm in Iceland, then people have to just email me for
Okay.
sessions. Yeah, so because I'm gonna have a different calendar for the summertime than for like when I'm in the States, because it's like there's a 4 hour difference. And people have to be willing to wake up early in the morning if they want to have sessions in July and August.
And the best way to get a hold of you is through the website,
Through
obviously.
my website, spiritoflight.com. Also, like if they put in Siri Bernsen, it goes to the same
Yeah.
site. Yeah.
That's true too. It'll take you right to the site. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then they can just book through there. I think that's the way to do it. Or even like, if they send me messages through like Facebook or Instagram, I may see it within 2 or 3 days. Like, my apology, don't like social media.
No, that's completely fine, and I completely respect that. Most of your readings, like, do you give them by phone, or you do like
Oh, that's a great
sessions?
question. So, I do in person, but then I also do the Zoom. And
Okay.
yeah, I did away with the phone thing. Did away with phone. But so I do Zoom, but I may change to a new program that I just purchased. I may try that out. I always like to try new things. But yeah, Zoom online.
Yeah, Zoom, WebEx, or what's it called? Microsoft Teams is another one that is really good. I use that at work all the time.
No, I found one that is called like Go Brunch or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I use this thing that is called AppZoomo, and then I buy these things. It has like loads of interesting things. I'm not a tech person, but I love to look at geeky things. Like for instance, I discovered how to bypass commercials on YouTube. The greatest discovery I ever discovered.
Really?
Well,
And you don't have
yeah.
to be a you don't have to be a member?
There you go. No membership. Boom, you do it your way. No, you can put a dash between the T and the U.
Really?
YouTube, like, yeah, you go on YouTube. You find the video you want to see, and to bypass the whole commercials that are always running through, you have to put a dash between the T and the U, and then you can watch it commercial free.
Wow.
I know a few little things like this, like how to watch, like how to read articles without paying for them when they're behind a paywall.
Is it the U before the T or after the T? The T
It's
and the
T
U.
dash U.
Okay, YOU space or YOUT dash UBE.
Yes.
Gotcha. I
Yes.
gotta try that out. Wow.
You should try it out. Like, I know these ways. Like, I'll spend time on like finding those ways to get things. Yeah, I like to, because it's
U before.
a apology credit card for everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I use YouTube a lot, so I heard YOU, but hey, if you're gonna save me something, why not? And it's just for the commercials, really, just to save the commercials. Ooh.
I know. So the time of like finding those.
All the streaming services have them now. Everything has commercials, and if you don't want the commercials, you gotta pay, the premium.
I know. And then you get to the point, like you have like membership for this and this and this, and they're like for like 50 places, and you only watch maybe one of them on occasion, or so,
Then you forget to cancel and it renews,
And
and
that's my point. That's kind of like my point. Then you forget to cancel, and then you're paying for this like 10 years later. Like I pay for Netflix for I don't know how many years, and I never watch it.
oh boy,
Yeah.
yeah.
Or I will pirate it from my sister or from my niece.
Yeah, you know what? It's all good. No, you did not just say that. You said something that rhymes with, you parroted from your sister. Right? Okay, there you go. All right, Siri, it was great talking to you, my friend. It was so it's really nice to, find out what's going on in your life and how you work and all that kind of stuff. Really good.
Likewise, Roman. If people go to Iceland, if they have questions, feel free to email me. If I catch the email, I'll respond to it.
There you go.
Iceland is awesome.
Fantastic. So that's it for our show today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. I will see you next month, and hopefully I'll see you soon, Siri. Thank you.
Alrighty, sounds good.
All right.
Take care.
Good night, everybody.